This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It is a great day to be saving money, using technology, and living a more sustainable life. I'm Tim Echols. My co-host is John Noel, former state representative. John, you're on Twitter at
New Energy Guy.
New Energy Guy. Twitter at Matters Radio for the show and at Tim Echols for my personal Twitter account. John, I had a professor here at UGA in 2007 that made us use Twitter.
Wow.
And so she was my very first follower.
You went to college in 2007. You are so young.
That was my third degree.
Third degree.
Yeah. So Karen Russell, shout out to her over at the Grady College at UGA. So she taught me to use Twitter, was my first follower, but I have now surpassed her in terms of the number of Twitter followers.
And she's got a captive audience. Yes, she's got students.
Does. All right, in the studio with us today, Michael Kimsey. Michael, you started Hope Works and run that nonprofit organization. Great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, John.
And we really enjoy working with you at the commission. I know you've got a lot of rapport with all the commissioners, and we're going to get into great detail about how your charity helps folks save money on their energy bills. Tell us first about the mission of Hope Works and what y'all try to accomplish.
Yes, our mission, and it's been this way for the past 35 years, is to help low-income senior homeowners age in place. And that's quite a task, but we have several programs that we manage to help them do that.
Yeah, we're going to get into those programs, but John, have you been to Cumberland Island before?
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've gone out there, hiked around. It's an exhausting place. That's a big barrier island. Mm-hmm. Folks listening, maybe you've been to Cumberland Island. It's kind of that last barrier island between Georgia and Florida. And, Michael, you've got some family history there. Your granddad worked there. Give us that story.
Yeah, actually, my grandfather was a caretaker for the Candler property there on the northern end of the island.
Cool.
Something you would find interesting, he actually started on Sapelo Island.
Wow.
In the mid-30s. He was working for R.J. Reynolds. He was installing a couple of generators down there so they would have electricity at the mansion. And he also did some other work for R.J. Reynolds. Well, my grandmother didn't like all the drinking and stuff that was going on down on Sapelo, and so they left in the mid-30s, and he started working for the Candlers at that time. Candlers had bought the northern end of the island and were working down there, and so he was their caretaker.
And they're prone to Coca-Cola, right,
instead of
alcohol. John, that's my kind of... That is the same Candler family, right?
It is.
Heard tell people do mix Coca-Cola and some alcohol, yeah, but I wouldn't know much about that.
So let's talk about Cumberland, because it is a jewel down there, and is it a national seashore? Is that the designation? What's the designation from the government?
Yes, it is a national seashore. Most of the island is. There are still parts of it that are private, but I'd say the majority of the island, the national, is part of the National Park Service.
And blissfully undeveloped, I might add.
Yes. Yeah.
So your granddad worked for the Candlers, so does that mean that he was, if they had an issue, regarding any kind of handy stuff at the house, mechanical stuff, carpentry stuff, broken stuff, he was fixing it?
Oh, he did. He did everything, Commissioner. He ran the boat, the Lorraine, from the mainland to the island. He took care of all the water source, the water tower. He built that and managed that because they had to get their own water there. Didn't have electricity at the time, so he managed all the generators and everything. He actually built several houses down there. My granddad actually put together a sawmill. They cut trees down, milled them, and built several houses down there. Actually, the ones that we stay in, he built from timbers on the island.
So as that transition from being a private island to a national seashore, folks that had property on the island, like your granddad, the clock was ticking on that to give it back. How does all that work? I've heard about it, but I don't quite understand it.
Yeah. Well, the Park Service or the government came in and said, we want to turn this into a park. So the private owners, most of the private owners, they have a life lease down there, which means that the park actually owns the house that we're in now, but we have a life lease through the youngest grandchild in our family. And most of the families have done that. Even the Candlers, the Millers, other people down there have done the same thing.
So mm-hmm. That was your grandfather, and you've got siblings. How many siblings do you have?
Oh, gosh, with cousins and everything, there's a lot of us down there.
Yeah, so the last grandchild survivor, after that child passes away, then that property reverts
to the federal government.
Back to the federal government.
That is correct. We're thinking about another 30 years. We've kind of, from our understanding, our house being on the northern end, being built from timbers on the island, will probably end up being a visitor center of some type for the federal government down there.
Wow. And so, and I've gone, you know, to Cumberland, I guess maybe a half a dozen times, and I basically do the same thing. Every time I go, I hike up that main road in the middle, we'll go out to the beach, you know, we'll walk through the campsite, and by then I'm exhausted and time to go
Time to have
back.
A Coca-Cola.
That's right, have a Coke. But is there some things that you really enjoy doing on the island, or things that maybe, you know, like looking at the wild horses? That's something my daughter enjoyed doing was, okay, Dad, let's try to find a baby horse, right? And so we hiked until we found a baby horse. What are some of the cool things that you've enjoyed doing?
Well, the great thing about where we are on the north end, the animals kind of come to us. We can just literally be sitting on the porch and horses, turkeys, raccoons, vultures, you know, all that wildlife is around us, alligators down in the creek. So we get to see all that kind of stuff. And it is a lot of fun watching the wildlife. Actually, the last time my wife and I were down, we saw our first bald eagle there.
Oh, wow.
It's right across the way. And that was really exciting to see that. Of course, when we go down, we love the wildlife. We love the fish. Fishing off the beach is one of my favorite things to do. And another thing, too, is just introducing people to the island, you know, letting them know about the history, because it is a great place, and it has a lot of history to it.
You know, Sapelo, and it's really a result of my friend Dennis Coleman. He's an African-American attorney that works at Ropes and Gray in Boston. He lives in Providence. And it was in helping Dennis with an issue that I got this idea to build this solar pavilion down on Sapelo. And I was talking to Dennis earlier before we were here, just reminding him, you know, that it was he who was really the inspiration for me doing this. And we're building this solar pavilion at Sapelo that's going to have, solar panels on the top. The library will get the benefit of that, as well as selling it back on the grid. And then, of course, folks that live on the island in Hog Hammock, Ngula Geechee community there, you know, we'll have the new picnic tables under there. And I think that this pavilion is going to be a real centerpiece. I mean, you've been to Sapelo a lot. Don't you think it's going to add a lot to Hog Hammock?
Oh, absolutely. And the people love it. They always love the attention, and the energy savings is just an extra bonus on that. It's going to be great.
Well, let's talk a little more about HopeWorks. I've got to know you over the last 9 years. I'm a big fan of what you all are doing, particularly this program of providing gas hot water heaters and gas furnaces for low-income homeowners, seniors who meet the income qualifications. And this is something that not that many people know about. I continue to talk about this, but still I find that folks say, oh, I've never heard of this. Are you guys doing a lot of good work on that?
Oh, absolutely. And I do appreciate this opportunity to let your listeners know more about this. We work with a lot of agencies around the state to get the word out. And it is a great program, because the particular one you're talking about, this is for low-income senior homeowners. And if they meet the qualifications, there's a possibility of getting their furnace fixed or replaced in many instances, or a brand new water heater.
A faulty furnace. If let's say you're a widow, you've been living in this home for a long time. Your husband passed away. You're on a fixed income, maybe just retirement Social Security income, and you haven't had the money to replace the furnace. What kind of what kind of physical jeopardy might you be in with a bad furnace?
What we see a lot of times with our homeowners is they're 80, 85 years old on an average. They've been in their home all their life, maybe 40-something years. Their furnace goes out. They're low income. They call a heating and air company and say, hey, my furnace has gone out. The heating and air company comes out and takes a look at it, and they say, I'm sorry, your heat exchanger's cracked. We're going to have to shut your furnace down. So it's the middle of winter. And the homeowner, of course, naturally, they say, well, I can't afford a new furnace. So they go to the next thing, which is to cut on their gas stove or oven. And when they do that, what they're doing is bringing carbon monoxide into the house as well as moisture. And it creates a very dangerous situation for our homeowners. We've gone into many homes where homeowners say, you know, ever since my furnace went out, I've had these headaches and I'm nauseated. And those are symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh, boy.
Wow. You know, John, this is a real concern for people, you know, at their most vulnerable time in their life as they're trying to age out in their home. And certainly we need to get the word out about this great program that's available for folks that are on the Atlanta Gas Light System.
Right, and which is a lot of folks.
Yeah, it is a lot of folks. And yeah. If you're in the Gainesville, Georgia area or Columbus, Georgia area, you're not. You're with Liberty Utilities. But I want to keep this conversation going because there's a lot about energy efficiency that he does. Yeah. There's I want to get down into further
details.
We'll
hear about that program, too.
Yeah, details about this program. I'm Tim Eccles, John North, my co-host. We're talking to Michael Kimsey with HopeWorks. Stick around to learn more about these great programs.
Creative Solar USA is a Georgia-based turnkey installer of innovative solar panel systems. They're dedicated to energy solutions for both your home and business. With their NABCEP certified installers, they ensure their clients receive the highest quality of solar energy systems in the industry. Contact CSUSA today at 770-485-7438 or go to creativesolarusa.com.
John, one of our sponsors for the show, Rowe Insulating Company, is doing a great job in and around Athens, being able to do a lot of what we talk about every single week on the show.
Every time it gets cold, every time it gets hot, it's always that attic that's the problem. And you could attack windows, and that's going to cost you a cold fortune. It is insulation that can solve the problem.
Hey, if you want to get this fixed, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Support for Energy Matters comes from Arnold, Golden, and Gregory. AGG takes a business sensibility approach when advising clients. AGG provides industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We appreciate their weekly support of Energy Matters.
And that's my co-host, John Noel, former state representative. And in the studio with us, Michael Kimsey from HopeWorks. We've been listening to Michael about some of the programs that his charity organization does around the state. Michael, good to have you back for this segment.
Thank you, Commissioner.
And adding another voice in the studio, you hear their ad every week on Energy Matters regarding Project Share of the Salvation Army. I got the director for Project Share, Michael Bradford. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we've had you on before, and we are so proud to have you guys really every single week talking about this great program that essentially allows folks to make a contribution on their utility bill and have it matched by the utility. So that's exciting. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Michael Kimsey, John has a question for you.
What I definitely want to get to, and there's so much going around, I want to get to who are you helping and how do you help them? In other words, who of the listenership out there could take advantage of these programs? Because as I hear and listen to these programs, this can help a lot of people. It's free money. It's free help. How do people apply and who's eligible?
Okay. We have two programs. The first is the Atlanta Gaslight Gas Furnace Gas Water Heater Program. The second is the Georgia Power Weatherization Program. Both of these programs are for low-income senior homeowners. We don't work on rental properties or that type of thing. These are for homeowners, people that actually own and are living in their homes. And for those who qualify, these are two great programs to help these seniors to age in place in these homes. Because, you know, seniors, when they can age in place in their own homes, they live happier, healthier, longer lives. And so that's one of our goals, is to help them to age in place.
You know, Wendy and I were just talking the other day about this, you know, this house that we got last year that is essentially going to allow us to age in place. It's a single level home, but we're, you know, me in my late 50s now, I'm thinking about those kind of things. But folks that are in their 70s or their 80s, they're on this fixed income, they just don't have the disposable income to be doing all these home repairs, do they?
No, they don't. And that's where this program is so valuable, because as I was talking about earlier, when the furnace goes out for a low-income senior, the only thing they can do in most cases is to resort to some either expensive, like electric space heater, or dangerous way, like a gas stove or oven, to heat their home. So being able to come in and help these homeowners with what we call a hand up is a tremendous thing for these seniors.
John, this program is funded essentially by industrial gas customers.
And I like it.
You know, a lot of folks, you know, are critical of social services or government or different things.
Not Republicans.
People are cynical about us, and I'm talking about Republicans. But this is a program that really is doing some phenomenal good, that's really helping the poorest, most vulnerable people in our society, in the state of Georgia, that is, these older people in their 70s or 80s who are on fixed income. It's a great program.
It's a great program, and it's the kind of thing the PSC, it's one of many reasons, but it's one critical reason why what the PSC does is so important. Irrespective of whether you're in office, whether somebody else is in office, standing up for the little guy, for the little lady, the people who need help, that's what government's about, and that's what the Public Service Commission should be about.
Yeah, Michael Bradford, out of that same pot of money, we have been able to have an organization like the Salvation Army, or HEAT, which is H-E-A-T, it's another heating assistance program. We've been able to help you all have funding to be able to help folks with a gas bill from time to time. How does your program work?
That's right, Commissioner. We are certainly grateful for the additional funding. Although, as you mentioned earlier, I think that we're primarily funded through Georgia Power. They provide about 80% of our budget actually through their customer donations and corporate dollar-for-dollar matching. And we've always been able to pay gas bills as well as housing using those funds now for 35 years through Project Share. But a few years ago, the PSC took an interest in what we do and provided us with additional funds to help specifically with low-income customers with natural gas service. And that has meant a tremendous boost for what we're able to do with the limited funds that we normally operate with.
So let me ask about this. Georgia Power, who I love to thump on, and there's plenty to thump on about them, what's happening now, and I'm a Project Share donator, that dollar I give is matched dollar for dollar by Georgia Power Corporate.
That's correct.
Now, I like that. I'm not going to thump on about that. I'm going to thank them for that. So that's what I want to be clear. So that
we
so
do
my,
too.
Now my dollar is $2, and you have $2. Okay, all right, and it's my donation. They're not taking credit for my donation. They're helping my donation.
Yeah, and John, that's not ratepayer money that Georgia Power is giving. That's their own bottom line.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. That's their own corporate money, and so we're really glad to see them kind of re-sow into ratepayers and be able
I
to
agree with that.
Help them with that. Yep. So while we're talking about Georgia Power, Michael, let me ask you about this energy efficiency weatherization program that you are helping with. How does that work? Is it for a senior? Is it for folks that are just low income? What are some of the qualifications for that program?
Yes, it's for low income senior homeowners. Again, but as both programs are.
What defines senior?
For that program, it's 60 and above.
60 and above.
Yeah.
So
I would fit in that
Tim
category.
Qualifies.
I'm almost.
Yeah.
I'm almost.
Oh,
ready,
I thought he was
ready
older.
For that.
I thought this was a slam dunk.
What kind of What kind of things are involved with a weatherization type of a upgrade?
We've been managing this program since the early 90s, and our approach has always been to treat each house differently, because each house has its own unique problems, weatherization-wise. And so what we do is we send in our certified crews, weatherization crews, to a home. The first thing they'll do is assess the home. They set up a blower door and an outside door, depressurize the house, try to find out where the leaks are in that particular home, because the idea is to keep your heating and cooling inside the house, not sharing it with the outdoors.
Right.
And so that's what they do. And then they'll go through and figure out the insulation levels and those type of things. And then after that, they'll begin working on that house to get the best bang for the buck for that house and for that homeowner. So whether it's putting more insulation in, installing LED bulbs, or ceiling bypasses or air leaks in the homes, that's the way we approach it. And the benefits of that to the customer are not only that they save on their energy bill, and saving on the energy bill continues not just for a few years, but for the rest of the time they're in the house, but also to the comfort of the house. We have a lot of homeowners that will call us in the dead of winter after work's been done on the house. They say, I don't really understand what your guys did to this house, but all I know is I'm comfortable for the first time in 30 or 40 years in this bedroom, in this living room, in this bathroom. And it all has to do with that weatherization. So it's the energy savings and the comfort to the home.
And they're not wasting money, and the planet isn't losing by wasting all that gas that's being put in there to heat a home instead of being exiting out.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so Michael, as you think about folks that approach the Salvation Army for assistance with an energy bill, I know I get some of those phone calls with folks telling me, hey, I'm sitting in the dark, my food's melting in my freezer, in my fridge, my kids have a medical issue, and they call me in crisis. I often then call you and connect them for an interview, for you guys to do some of the research, and you do such a good job with that. How are folks finding out about your assistance, and how does it go from, oh, I heard about the Salvation Army, to actually having the bill paid maybe directly to the utility? How does that work?
Well, of course, they can find information on the Salvation Army's website for the Georgia Division or the Atlanta Area Command or the local Salvation Army in their community, where we provide project share assistance through all of those outlets. When they come in, they'll first call to make an appointment. When they come in, they'll bring the necessary information to document their crisis and provide us with the basic information necessary to be good stewards of our contributions and to determine what's best for them, that be the most effective for the situation they're in to resolve the crisis, the immediate crisis, whether it's a disconnect or whether it's an impending disconnect, or just simply the fact that they cannot pay their bill that's past due, and it eventually will reach that crisis stage with their service, and we can prevent that from happening. Not only by paying the bill, but in the process, our relationships with the utility companies allows us to make pledges which will preserve the service or even reconnect before we can actually physically make the payment on their behalf.
Yeah, so John, that's a real blessing for someone to be able to get assistance. I know folks will say to me, "Hey, well, why won't the power company just cut me some slack?" Or, yeah, I mean, you can't run a business like that. And so having charities that are funded, that are able to help, and that know how to work with people in distress, I mean, this is a really, really good thing.
Yeah, it's important. And I again, beat up on Georgia Power plenty. This is a situation where they have a business to run, and you have to set rules. If you don't pay your bill, we turn off the thing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's where charities step in, and that's where I think Project Share is so valuable, and Hope Works.
When we come back, guys, I'm going to put you all on the spot when we come back. As we think about a crisis at the border, or a crisis with a tent city and homeless people in our larger cities, I want you to kind of put on your hat that you wear. And I mean, how do we get our nonprofit organizations engaged, right? Because they have a heart. Stick around, and we're going to learn more about how we can help folks that are in great need. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Echols and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Energy and Environment.
This half hour of Energy Matters is sponsored by Energy and Environment. Energy and Environment's commercial, industrial, and government efficiency contracting services lower utility bills for their customers. And we talk a lot about that on Energy Matters. They specialize in custom lighting, retrofit solutions, and a lot of other stuff. Energy and Environment brings over 20 years of experience to your place of work. See what they can do for you at Energy and Environment. Spell out the word energyandenvironment.com. Well, John in studio with us, and I've got John Noel, my co-host, former Democratic state representative.
Yep.
I'm a Republican PSC commissioner. At the end of the last segment, I kind of teased about this crisis, John, that we seem to have in large cities, but it's not just large cities. We've got it here in Athens, Georgia. There's, you know, people get down on their luck. They have a hard time. Some people, you know, of their own making, other people not so much. You just never know. And we've got two experts that run charities or arms of charities in the studio with us today. And John, what I said was that I felt like charities were in better a better position to have a heart, to work with people in distress than government. And I know government has taken criticism, whether it's the government of a big city or the government at the border and government services, that they have taken hits. But what I would love to see, and I have one of my degrees is in nonprofit organizations, I'd love to see us empower more charities to be able to come in with their mission, which is more heart-driven,
right,
more compassionate. I don't know, John, we never talked about that. I mean, is that something?
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I wish our tax policy incentivized it, you know, a little better. I think we took away some deductions in the last tax bill. But I am for that. I think that, you know, a point you have made privately, and I wish you'd make it again on radio, point you've made is that they are in such a unique position that their whole incentive is not profit-based. Again, I beat up on Georgia Power, but that's, in some respects, it's not fair. They are a for-profit company. They are to make a profit. But a Salvation Army or a HopeWorks are nonprofit entities, and they are there to serve the public, writ small, because they can only serve so many. And I think that's why charities are valuable. Growing them serves us all well.
Yeah, and so as I sit in the position, the two Michaels in studio, Michael Kimsey and Michael Bradford, as I sit, you know, at the desk or at the rostrum there at the Public Service Commission with my government hat on, I'm very aware of how limited I am in actually, you know, conducting human services and helping people in distress. And I'm very aware of the fact that that is the whole purpose that you guys in your charity work exist. So I just feel like that charities do such an incredible job. How can we get them more resources? How can we encourage more people to give? And that's why I give to Project Share, and I encourage people to give to Project Share, and Project Share sponsors this radio show not from your own pocket, but from a donor that wants to see your organization grow. Michael, as you think about the mission of the Salvation Army and about how you all work with people, I mean, is it, you've been in it a long time, is it still something that drives you every day?
It certainly does, Commissioner. Personally, when I encounter situations in my own life that are just uncomfortable for me, whether it's being cold in the wintertime or too hot in the summertime, and all I have to do is turn to the thermostat in my house to make that right, or when the power goes off due to a limb hitting a line or something like that. That's an inconvenience, but my mind almost always immediately goes to our clients who do not have the option of going to the thermostat to make things right or flipping a light switch. And so even after doing this now for almost 25 years myself, that is still foremost in my mind virtually every day, whether I'm dealing with my own situation or not. That's what the mission of the Salvation Army is. We only exist for one reason, and that's to serve people who are suffering and to minister to that need.
Wow. Michael, yeah. You know, this is great. Why I have you guys on. Michael Kimsey, I mean, you wake up every day thinking about the task ahead of you, and I know you wish you had more resources and could help more people, but you are doing great work out there, and I commend you for it. And as you think about the work that you all are involved in and the satisfaction of being able to relieve distress and put people in a better situation, what motivates you?
Well, several things. First of all, it's not a job for me. It's a calling. When I first took this position, I left the corporate world, left my own business, because I really felt like God was calling me to this. And then beginning to work with these low-income seniors and seeing how you're not just putting a furnace in or weatherizing a house, you're impacting and changing lives. And it is a strong motivator to see the lives of people change through these programs. And it makes me want to do more and more and more for these seniors.
You know, John, I love having these conversations because I think deep down, I think people want to help others. They just sometimes they don't know the most effective way to do it, or they see something on TV, or they ride down a street and see this person here or there, and they think, oh, you know, I'm sorry about that, but they don't know how to help. In the studio with us today are two men who work in organizations full of men and women who know how to help, and they know how to do it effectively. I mean, Michael Bradford, I mean, you've had a lot of training in this, and you train a lot of other people. What do you tell to a person who comes to you and they've joined the Salvation Army and they want to be a part of, of relieving human suffering and helping people? What do you say to them? How do you motivate them, or do you even have to motivate them?
Well, first of all, we hope the motivation is already there if they're interested in working for the Salvation Army, if they understand what the organization is all about. And I will say, just generally about the Army, I find so many people who don't really understand the depth and the breadth of what the Army does, whether it's a natural disaster response. We are almost always the first ones in and the last ones out when it comes to any natural disaster in the United States, even local ones. And then the human trafficking issue, which the Salvation Army, a lot of people might be surprised that that's one of the primary issues that the Salvation Army now addresses these days. And it's affecting so many places in the United States, not just large cities, but small as well. And what we hope is that we find the right match for people who want to serve and want to minister to those in need. And there is a professional way as well as a purely heartfelt way to respond to people, because you want to give them, as the cliche goes, you don't want to give them a handout, you want to give them a hand up.
Yep.
And so the Army has programs to address a lot of things like a lack of a high school diploma and budgeting and rehab for drug and alcohol dependency, many things that affect a client's ability to really make it in life the way that they want to and the way that society needs them to contribute.
You know, I think there's a lot of folks that they and I'm one of them, that don't fully understand how things happen out there on the street, right? We see people living in tents or under bridges or in a food line, or we hear about these things, and it's complicated, and it's hard to even know where to begin. And you, both of you and your organizations, have expertise in being able to handle this. I'll tell a quick story of a person I knew here in Athens, Georgia, who we helped secure an apartment for and helped them manage their money. They were just on a fixed government income to be able to survive. And it was a very, very close budget with only, you know, $25 or $50 of spending money available. And after a time period, this gentleman decided that he did not want the constraints of that responsibility, or to only have that amount of spending money, that he would prefer to live actually out on the street and to be able to have all of that money to be king for half a month at least before he was out of money. And he refused the help and assistance. And it was baffling to me that a person would choose that. You meet people like that, don't you, Michael Bradford?
That's true, and it's really difficult to know exactly what's going on in each person's mind and what their life experience has been and what has formulated this approach to life. And we can't force assistance on anyone, and we wouldn't want to. I would say that's a minority for certain. We're deluged with calls every day in every unit of the Salvation Army across the state from people who desperately want the help. And very often, these are working people who just don't have the funds to make ends meet.
In our last minute of this segment, Michael Kimsey, you meet people like that just are refusing the help, that just are going their own way, and how do you deal with that?
Actually, not too much in where we work, because people are calling us desperate for help, so we don't see that too much. There are situations, though, where it's so desperate that even the services we offer are not enough. And that's really heartbreaking when you see that, where we could do a few things, but it's just not going to be enough.
John, when we come back, I want to continue this discussion with our charity leaders and just encourage our audience out there to check that box on their utility bill to donate to Project Share.
Yeah, Scott Slate said everybody has tough times in their life.
That's right. So stick around, and we're going to continue to learn about the great work going on at the Salvation Army and the Project Share Division, as well as Hope Works. I'm Tim Eccles. I'm at Tim Eccles on Twitter. And my
new
co-host,
energy guy.
John Noel, is at New Energy Guy. Stick around, and Energy Matters will be right back.
You've heard about GEM cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, GEM cars and trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation GEMs have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GEMCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Hey, it's Commissioner Tim Eccles, host of Energy Matters. I want to tell you about Kevin Rowe and Rowe Insulating Company. If you need insulation anywhere within 60 miles of Athens, Georgia, you need to call 706-795-2854. It's important, isn't it, John?
It is the most important thing you can do in your house.
It's the low-hanging fruit of everything that we talk about on Energy
right.
Matters every single week.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Get comfortable.
I'm Tim Eccles, and this is my co-host, John Noel.
Yes, sir.
John, we've got two charity leaders in the studio.
Goliaths in the studio.
Michael Kimsey from Hope Works and Michael Bradford from Project Share. And, you know, folks out there that are listening to us, I mean, you hear the Project Share ad, you know, every time you listen to Energy Matters. And I want to encourage you to check that box at the bottom of your utility bill, which triggers a corporate contribution. John, this is a great way for a person to essentially get their utility, you know, to invest. And
right.
And in this case, the utility, I think they're quite proud of the work that they've done. How many years has it been, Michael Bradford, since they've been working with y'all?
35 years, so, our relationship with Georgia Power. Well, the Army started Project Share up in Dalton, Georgia, just on a local level, and then went to Georgia Power to ask if they would be interested in creating a statewide program based on the model. And they were interested, and they gave us seed money, and then after a couple of years of satisfactory service, they began matching dollar for dollar their customer donations. So over about 35 years, it has been about $75 million generated through Georgia Power.
That's a lot
customers.
Of, that's a lot of assistance, John. And HopeWorks, you guys have a, you're a smaller organization, obviously a smaller budget, but you're doing a lot with what you have, right? You're doing, Michael Kimsey, you're with HopeWorks. What is your website, by the way, Michael Kimsey?
It's HopeWorks4us.org.
HopeWorks4us.org. Mm-hmm. And what's your website, Michael Bradford, for Project Share? Is it
ProjectShareInfo.com, but it's better probably to go to the Salvation Army Georgia Divisional website, SalvationArmyGeorgia.org.
And you can find out about both of these, about both of these programs. So, you know, Michael Kimsey, in thinking about, you know, helping folks with energy efficiency is something my co-host has a lot of expertise in. But you're doing it with folks that can't afford it. And as you look at these homes, you know, are, I guess some of them may be trailer homes, some of them may be stick-built homes, but what's one of the first things that you do? What is the repeat offender that's causing folks to waste money in most of these homes that you're working with?
Probably the biggest repeat offender is leaky homes. And when I say that, homes are built with holes in them. I remember when I built my own house years ago, the plumber pulled out a chainsaw and asked him, I said, what are you going to do that? He says, I want to rough in your plumbing for you. And I'm thinking, my goodness, he's going to put holes all in my house. And that's true. There's holes, there's leaky houses. And so that's probably the biggest offender right there. Many houses have some level of insulation, but the holes in the houses, trying to plug those holes to keep the air conditioning and heat inside the house.
And John Noel, I mean, as you work with higher end customers, because you're obviously running a business to do that, you find the same thing out there,
yep.
holes in houses?
Yep. Leaky homes and attics. Attics are the big deal. I suspect a lot of stuff that Michael's doing is putting insulation in attics.
Yeah. And so, Michael Bradford, your role, though, is a little bit different. You're actually interfacing, Salvation Army interfaces with the customer. Or the utility customer who has a need, y'all evaluate whether or not they should receive that need, and then you you trigger that contribution out of the proceeds that you have that you've either raised privately or that you've been given, correct?
That's true, Commissioner. And we do an overall evaluation, an assessment of what their household situation is comprised of, the total of their bills that have to be paid every month, the total of their income sources or benefits or both, to determine how best to address the need they bring to us and also how best for them to address going forward after they receive the assistance.
So it's kind of like financial planning in some ways. It's financial understanding and kind of helping them walk through it, because you're not just handing people money. You're studying and having them study on their own situation.
That's right, John. It's not just, of course, the clients are in crisis. They want the bill paid. They need the bill paid.
Right.
But it's our job to look a little deeper to see if there's anything that is systemic in their situation that we have the tools to address on their behalf or to lead them in the right direction.
And by your mission, it's incumbent on you by your mission to do that.
That's right. Right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can't really forget also the ministerial part of Project Share. I'm not a minister, but all the uniform-wearing officers of the Salvation Army that people might be familiar with are actually ordained ministers.
I did not know that.
Yes. And so, of course, that's not a component that's forced on anyone, but it's something that's available to everyone.
That's great.
You know, John, you were raised in the Methodist
Presbyterian
Church.
Yeah, sir, don't mess that up.
Is there a difference between the two? No, I'm just teasing. Of course there is. You were raised in the Presbyterian Church. I was raised Southern Baptist. And, I mean, my faith is still very important to me. It's still a driver, and it's something even as I serve, you know, as a commissioner, the role that I serve in, you know, I can't hardly separate who I am. And John, I've never really talked to you about that and how you feel about that. But it's hard to separate who you are, your character, your values from the job that you have. You kind of, when you elect a person, you kind of get a package deal. Right.
Yeah, you do.
And so,
yeah,
you know, it's incumbent upon people to get to know these officials and to say, you know, I want this person in that role for this reason, based on, you know, these criteria that I have. And folks, you know, hopefully are making good choices that are, you know, that line up with, you know, with their own priorities and their own values.
You know, this is a problem I have sometimes with for-profit businesses. You know, people go to church. They're good Christian folk, good Buddhists, good whoever they are, and then they go to business, then they do their business, and they're just sticking it to people. And that is not the way I want to conduct business, but it's the way a lot of people conduct business. And it could be you could be a plumber, or you could own the plumbing company. I have a problem with that. And so when I'm surrounded by people, Michael Bradford of 25 years and Michael Kimsey, how many years in this
20
business?
Years.
20 years. Just these legends in this field. I'm kind of awed and somewhat subdued from my normal gesticulations and volume because I'm in the presence of greatness that are doing good work for good people.
I was recently down in Florida looking at their Florida Power and Light's solar plus storage facility just around the Fort Myers area, and one of the employees from FPNL was telling me about how all of these contractors just take advantage of people in Florida. There's a lot of elderly people, and
it is the lowest of the low.
And how that he just really, once he finds a contractor he actually trusts, he never changes it because he said it's just so often that homeowners are being sold things that they really don't need. Michael Kimsey, as you interact with elderly folks, are you finding that they have been taken advantage of, or that there are people preying on them?
Oh, all the time, Commissioner, all the time. I mean, I wish sometimes we had the funds that we could address a lot of the elder abuse issues that we see financially.
Wow.
We see
just dirtbags
just taking advantage of
my word, not yours, but boy, I'll tell you. Yeah.
And it's disheartening. And but the good thing is there's a lot of good organizations that are out there trying to protect our elderly and to take care of them. And we need to continue to encourage and support that.
You know, as much as folks try to preach the separation of church and state and all this stuff out there, and folks,
oh, here we go.
Yeah, sorry. I really don't want to get on my soapbox here, but John, ethics. Ethics is important. Character is important.
Yep.
It's incumbent upon us to teach it to our children, our grandchildren. I mean, I was just meeting with, you know, some folks earlier this week and folks that I didn't really know that much. And I said, would you all mind if I say a blessing here? And I prayed that God would prosper them and bless them. And I said to them, when I said amen, I said, you know, thank you for letting me pray. I like to ask God to help me with things in my life.
Nothing wrong with that.
And one of my degrees here at UGA, I had an ethics course, and I know there are all these different ethic philosophies out there, ethical theories, but I'm telling you, folks, we need people that have character and that have an ethical framework who are not only running charities, but are running businesses. Now that I can get off my soapbox, Michael Bradford, just as we wrap up this show, what's ahead for Project Share? And you guys see the program continuing to grow, and are there more people to help, more people asking, or are we getting to a better place where folks are, you know, are the economy's helping them? Where are we at right now?
Well, unfortunately, there's never a shortage of people in financial crisis, whether it's Georgia or other states as well, I'm sure. You may have heard the statistic that's almost a cliche now, that the average American cannot access $400 cash in an emergency without selling something or borrowing it. So that is a pretty stark reality that we see every day. Yes, and also, illness or just simply job loss can be a catastrophic occurrence for a family's budget, a working family's budget, even a very gainfully employed person
Wow.
Who's suddenly not getting the check.
So where can folks find out about the Salvation Army?
Well, just Google Salvation Army of Georgia or Salvation Army of Atlanta or Salvation Army of your local community, and you'll find all the things that we do wherever you are. And I would like to also mention that we have other partner utilities besides Georgia Power, even though they are the big one that we depend on. We have more than 20 other utilities, including most recently the Athens-Clark County Utilities for water bill assistance.
Great. Yeah, that's great. And I know I give to Project Share on my Jackson EMC bill. So thank you both for being in the studio with us today. Michael Kimsey, your website?
It's HopeWorks.com. The number 4us.org, or if you want to call, our number is 404-872-0167.
John, a sobering topic. Thanks for letting me get on my soapbox today. I just want folks to do more to help their neighbors in need. Well, I'm Tim Eccles, my co-host John Noel. I'm at Tim Eccles on Twitter. You're at
New Energy Guy.
We appreciate you listening to Energy Matters. We hope you'll make an investment in the human beings that are in your city. And whether that's through your church or the Salvation Army or some of the other great
call your utility and get this on your bill.
I'm Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Creative Solar USA is a Georgia-based turnkey installer of innovative solar panel systems. They're dedicated to energy solutions for both your home and business. With their NABCEP certified installers, they ensure their clients receive the highest quality of solar energy systems in the industry. Contact CSUSA today at 770-485-7438 or go to creativesolarusa.com.